When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, good to have you with us for a final hour here on a Victory Motown Monday. Looks nasty out. Be safe. Bunch of maniacs driving around earlier today. I barely made it to the radio station. Good luck to me getting home. Good luck to you getting home. How about you not drive like a complete nincompoop, huh? How about that? How about you actually care about somebody other than yourself? Be safe out there, especially if you got some inclement weather. I'm not sure if it's supposed to rain a little bit later on. It's very overcast and all that good stuff. Joining us right now, as he does each and every Monday at 3 o'clock, right here on the Team 980, is our guy Jay Gruden on air and off the on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly, and Fairfax F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. Hello, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing good, Chris. Did you use the word nincompoop just now?
I did. Is that okay in the Jay Gruden vernacular?
I haven't heard that one in a long time. That's one for the ages right there.
You know what it is, Jay? When you can't curse on the radio and you're tired of calling people morons or idiots, you kind of come up with anything that like would fit the bill. And we are in a sea of idiocy in this country, as you probably know, especially on the roads. And I don't know why I said nincompoops, but I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad I could get a chuckle out of the Jay Meister. I appreciate that.
No problem.
I hope you had a good weekend, and I hope you didn't run into any nincompoops anytime recently. Let's start with, obviously, the win, 20-19. I saw you tweeted something the other day, or I guess earlier today, at coach_. Jay Gruden is how people can follow you if you're not already doing so, at coach_Jay Gruden. Ugly wins are great wins. And that doesn't surprise me coming from a head coach, because I know they're really hard to get. But for those that are frustrated, disappointed, antsy, whatever, explain the mentality that goes into winning and even winning ugly.
Yeah, winning on the road, too. I know they had their backup second string and third string quarterback playing, but winning on the road is never easy. And at New Orleans is a tough place to play. I don't care who's playing it. Getting wins, just racking them up at the end of the year, and then trying to see where you fit in the playoff race is important. I mean, you look at Kansas City. How many pretty wins have they had?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, there's a lot of teams that have had wins like this, not just Washington. And the teams that win them have a lot better opportunity to make it to the playoffs and get their dreams granted than the teams that can't win ugly.
Yeah, no doubt. Here's what I said: it was a got away with it win. Not a great win, not a good win, not a very good win, a got away with it win, because they did just enough, Jay, to get away with it. I mean, that's how I felt. Is that wrong or no?
I feel like Washington's in total command of the game the entire game until the last play.
Okay. Really?
I really do. I mean, think about the long one to Terry that was just outside his hands, and the other one that went off his fingertips. Yep. The other one was just a little bit underthrown. The completion of Deami Brown with the holding penalty on Algretti. I mean, there was a 8 or 9 chances that this game should have been 3-score game. And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, here comes New Orleans, and you look up at the scoreboard and shoot.
Well, that's what I can't. That's what I can't reconcile with, right? Because I pointed out the same things that you just did, and you know, some of those pass. The one to Deami was a hell of a throw. I mean, Jaden did a lot right. And the Commanders did some right. I don't want to say a lot right, but you're right. they're a fingertip away from winning the game by 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever. And before we get to the officiating, I wanted to ask you on the Terry ones. One, again, was a clear overthrow, which we've seen a couple of times this year and is going to happen. It's a low percentage success rate, but when it works great. One, it looked like Terry on a busted coverage slowed down and maybe, I don't want to say he didn't know what to do, but he kind of like almost stopped or hesitated. Jay, did you see that? What did you make out of that? And also on the third one, was it pass interference or illegal or some sort of illegal contact?
Yeah, I thought third one, they might have got illegal contact on that one. EB didn't really play the ball. He played into Terry. But that was a close one. The one that Terry slowed down on, it was a blown coverage. I think Terry might have assumed it was a cloud corner and there was a safety over the top, so he's slowing down for the whole shot. I don't know if he realized there was no safety there. They just totally blew the coverage. That could be the only thing that would make Terry slow down, I think, in my mind. But I couldn't tell either. It did look like he hesitated a little bit. The ball went off his hands, but that was a big play. Just didn't quite connect.
Yeah, no doubt. But yet Terry and Jaden connected twice. I don't know if you've ever seen, if I've ever seen a route like he ran for the first touchdown, which was obviously a broken play, but he ran like a sideline out off the right side, and then he angles all the way basically across the field on a run on a diagonal, and Jaden slips and kind of goes down as he's kind of scrambling to his left, and he gets up and he still has enough mustard on the ball to fit it into a tight hole. That was an incredible touchdown. I don't know if they're getting enough credit for the level of difficulty from both of those guys.
Oh, incredible. And I think that's players will start to understand when Jaden breaks contain, the timing of the play has been screwed up. Everybody's just got to run for daylight. And the plaster rules are in effect huge with Jaden. You look at what Buffalo did with Josh Allen the other day with the running backs. James Cook had one. Ty Johnson had one. They're just running flat routes. Next thing you know, they're catching one 40 yards down the field because they know that when the good athletic quarterbacks break contain, they're not looking to run. They're looking for a big play, throwing the ball first, and then they'll run. So, yeah, that was a great play by Terry and Jaden.
Jay Gruden brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, as he is each and every Monday on the BetQL guest hotline right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, at @coach_JayGruden on X. So let's get to the officiating. Before I ask you what happened at the end of the game, I don't know if you saw it live or on tape or whatever. Did you see what happened at the end of the third quarter when Joseph, who stinks, by the way, missed a field goal, but it was like 5 seconds after the game clock expired at the end of the third quarter? Did you see that?
Yeah, the clock.
What in the world happened there, Jay? How could all of those officials be that blind and that ignorant?
And then the guy stops the clock and the guy's inbounds at the end of the game and they freeze for 4 seconds, 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah, that's, goodness.
These guys have been doing this for a long time. You know, I used to coach in the Arena League and play in the Arena League, and some of those hometown clock operators were, they were bad.
Yeah, but Jay, on the one at the end of the game, I can't blame the clock operator because the side judge is running, and it's hard to see in certain video clips, but in one of the video clips, the side judge is coming in waving his hands like, stop the clock, stop the clock. And that's what the clock operator has to see, even though he knows the clock shouldn't stop because there's no reason for it to stop. It's not an incomplete pass. There's no timeout. There's no nothing. The side judge comes in. He is the one that just completely brain farted, I guess.
Yeah. I maybe he thought he was in college and it was a first down and the clock stops after a first down. I don't know. That was insane to me.
If you were coaching, Jay, in that spot, along with what happened at the end of the third quarter, how much of your sanity would you have left after a game like that, win or lose?
Yeah, I probably my blood pressure would have been through the roof, and I might have had a heart attack right there on the sideline just to make the day even better. But, yeah, you know, it's very frustrating. There's things you can't control that should be controlled, you know, from a officiating point of view. These are things that are out of your control. If they're wrong, I mean, there's nothing you did wrong as a coach. You just got screwed over. So you got to live and die with the human element of the officiating, I guess. But that was uncalled for.
Let me ask you one more on this. So Sean Hockley did a pool report with one of the New Orleans reporters, and he admitted the mistake that they made. He didn't give a whole lot of context. He just said mistake, and he was asked, hey, could you do something to correct that? And he said, nope, it's not reviewable. Just like the face masks on the quarterbacks that we've seen over and over and over again with Joe Burrow and what happened at the end of L.A. and what game was that? L.A. and I forgot the
Cincinnati.
Yeah, no, Cincinnati L.A. and Minnesota. Well, Cincinnati's had four of them, but L.A. Minnesota like a month and a half ago on Thursday Night Football with Sam Darnold. But. Just like those are unreviewable or not eligible for replay assist, how in the world is a major error, a major clock malfunction, whoever's fault it is, Jay, how is that not reviewable? What are we doing here?
I don't understand it because I've seen officials say, hey, clock operator, put 8 more seconds on the clock, right? They've done that before, right?
Yeah.
Why can't they say, hey, clock operator, take 4 seconds off. Game's over. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. You're right.
So I don't understand that one. Yeah. But, yeah.
I mean, how many times? You're right. How many times do we say, you know, please put, you know, 14 seconds on the clock instead of 11 seconds and clock starts on my whistle or whatever. We see that all the time. I saw that in the Army-Navy game the other day.
Exactly. So I don't understand why they can't go the other way.
I don't get it.
And the same thing with these face mask calls. Like you mentioned before, I think they're going to have 5 or 6 calls that can be called from upstairs, a replay assist. They're going to add to them next year. You know, the big thing is they got to add those. And then they also have to be able to take plays off that aren't, you know, those
correct.
Horse collars that aren't horse collars that they actually call. They're going to have to just do a better job of much. These are huge plays.
Or the roughing the passer penalties on Dante Fowler yesterday. I mean, you know, and those are ticky-tack. I got it. You know, you can go 50-50 one way or the other. But, man, are those killer penalties. Because they're 15-yard penalties, and one of them turned out to be a field goal. I wanted to ask you this. The first drive of the game, the Commanders kicked a field goal with Joseph, who, I want to point out, stinks. They kicked the field goal, and then they took the break, and everybody thinks the Commanders are up 3-0, and then they come back, and they're like, oh, no, New Orleans was called for a penalty, and they showed it, and I didn't quite get the explanation, but one of the guys did something, and is that the thing that you've been, quite honestly, very blunt about all year?
I've been on this thing for 2 months now. It's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
The guy did nothing wrong on that one, and when they do something wrong, they don't call it. The referee's got it all. They got it all backwards. You know, I'm glad it worked out in Washington's favor.
So he did not do. Okay, all right. So he did not do something wrong, and yet they called it. Okay, well,
unless he thought that when the center was coming down, the long snapper was coming down, the guy jumped on top of him. Maybe that's why he called it. That's the only thing I could think of.
Well, you know, based on how Sean Hockley's crew did the rest of that game, nothing should surprise you in that regard. Were you surprised that the Commanders did not try and do a better job establishing the run, even with your guy Badass out of the game?
They tried. They got nothing. Brian Robinson's only run was a screen, really. Jaden threw it backwards to him. He got 20 yards. He had 20 carries for like 40 yards. They averaged, other than that one screen, if you remember, for 20. He had 20 carries for 40 yards. So there was nothing really happening inside. New Orleans did a really good job against the run. They were they had really good edge presence. And then inside, they were getting off blocks, doing a really good job. Not a lot of movement by the Washington offensive line in this game. It was disappointing in my mind. I know Tyler was out. He's a big part of that inside push. But everybody else, even Bates had a tough time at tight end, setting the point of attack. It was a tough day all around for the run game.
I agree with you. You know, but here's where I would just at least counter on – the second run of the game, first possession, they got 9 yards. Third run of the game, they got 5 yards. And listen, I understand some of the other runs, and certainly late, I totally get the Saints defensive line, but they had not been good stopping the run coming into the game. How do you and is it possible that Cliff Kingsbury changed maybe some of his calls or the game plan because of Biotish being out? Would you do something like that if you woke up on the morning of the game and found out that your starting center, a guy who's coming off his best game of the year and such a linchpin in that offensive line, is out? Would you alter your calls that much, or is that just not happening?
It could. Center, probably not so much, but like if you have a Jordan Reed that is practicing all week and they tell you Saturday he's out, then half your game plan goes out the window.
That,
yes.
That never happened around here, did it, Jay?
Yeah, like 5 weeks in a row. But yeah, for a center, it probably wouldn't change that much, but it might change a little bit because, you know, Tyler does do a good job of polling and doing a lot of these extra things that you don't see in communication and all that good stuff. But it would have a little bit of an impact, but not as much for the center.
Jay, you love when I come up with those good zings. I don't forget anything, do I?
No, you're pretty good.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I appreciate it. I just try and make you laugh because you make me laugh. So we kind of go back and forth. Jay Gruden is with us, Ted Britt Automotive Group, as always. The defense, a lot of people are disappointed by what happened in the second half. I understand that. The Kamara trick play, touchdown, great catch, unbelievable. Did you have a major problem with what you saw to the Commanders' defense in the second half when they went from Haener, who was incompetent, to Spencer Rattler? Or do you think that was just kind of circumstance between some weird-ass penalties and a team that was just kind of playing from behind and finally woke up a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they probably let down their guard a little bit. You know, I know they weren't trying Lattimore too much on one side. They were trying to go to the other side. And They got a couple good route combinations. And Spencer did make a couple nice throws on a deep dagger play and a couple plays that he kept alive with his legs, which he does pretty well. He's done since college. But I think they did let their guard down a little bit. I think Coach Quinn will have a little problem with that in the meeting today. He'll take care of that. But overall, I think the defense played really good in the first half. And then obviously the big play to Kamara that – and has been run for the last 20 years. You know, once every five games, somebody will try that thing.
Yeah.
And then the big play on the dagger and a couple other plays. But I think overall, they got to be a little pleased the way they played. They got the win, held in 19, and they're playing with a limited deck as well. Payne, I think, is a little bit banged up.
Yep.
A little short on the D-line. And, it's just one of those days on the road.
Yeah, that trick play was significantly run better than the one in Denver. I'm sure you saw that with Benito picking off the pick six up the middle on the trick play. My goodness, Jay. What, you know, they look great when they work. When they work the way they did in Denver for Indianapolis, you're like, oh, my God, how stupid can you be?
Yeah, that's the thing about trick plays, man. When they work, you look like the offensive genius of the league. When they don't work, you're looking for a job the next year. So, yeah that's the risk-reward when you call a trick play.
Ravens-Giants, the Ravens blew him out. Lamar's fine, you know, 35-14, all that. But Deontay Johnson was suspended for that game, and now he's been excused from this week's activities. Devondre Campbell walked off the field after refusing to go in because his feelings were hurt that he wasn't the starter anymore when Greenlaw came back the other night. Jay, I mean, listen, I know we're in an athlete entitlement and empowerment era, but how do we deal with this stuff without just going bonkers? Because, I mean, you're making so much money and you get to play a game that so many want to play. And I understand everybody's got issues and challenges and mental this and mental that. But my goodness, how do you explain what we've seen in just the last couple of days?
There's no room in pro football or any sport for that type of behavior, in my opinion. You just got to get them off your team. That's just the way it is. And good coaches who have the power to do that makes their team better. And when you let go of a guy like a Campbell or Deontay Johnson, the locker room says, hell, damn, if they do it to him, they could do it to me. And people fall in line a little bit. But if you let these guys do what they want, then everybody thinks they can do what they want. You're going to have major problems when things don't go well. And you just got to take care. You got to nip those actions in the bud. You know, unlike I was able to do in Washington, I had to let some people hang around. But you got to get those guys out of your building. Let them go play somewhere else. They're just not going to play for me because I'm not going to deal with it.
I wonder who you're talking about, Jay.
I don't know. There's a lot of them.
You know what's interesting about these two, though, is they're not being released just yet. I mean, they're being, you know, there's a report of a three-game suspension for Devondre Campbell with San Francisco. And again, Deontay Johnson was suspended for yesterday. And now the team announced that they're excusing him. So they're not releasing these players. They're just kind of, I don't know, dangling, suspension, maybe. Whatever.
Yeah, maybe they think they get a seventh-round draft pick later for him or something like that in the trade. Who knows?
I don't know. Last one for you. Well, maybe not the last one. Quick one. Kansas City beats Cleveland 21-7, but Mahomes gets hurt. We've seen him play through all sorts of nagging injuries. They're calling it a high ankle sprain. Here's the problem, Jay. They've got a game this Saturday and then another game on Christmas Day, which is Wednesday of next week. So three games in basically 10 and a half days, including the one they played yesterday. If you're the head coach, knowing Mahomes and not being a doctor, how do you kind of go about that? Do you just basically plan Carson Wentz to be the starter, and if Mahomes can go, Mahomes can go, and you trust that even with limited reps, he's going to be okay?
Yeah, I think it's all up to Patrick and the doctors. That's all you can leave it up to. And if he's limping around significantly, then I'd get Carson ready to go for this week and try to get him ready for the Wednesday game. But I think the NFL should be really seriously look at their scheduling right now. This is late in the year. These games mean a lot to a lot. Teams are fighting for playoffs, home field, division champions, and you can't have three games in 10 days, week 16 and 17 and 15. It's ridiculous. These guys need a good rest and recovery this late in the season. It's unfair to the players. It's unfair to the people watching the games. It's bad football when they put these games on 3 days notice. But anyway, back to Mahomes. Yeah, it's all up to the doctor what he can tolerate, and he might come in as a starter and not be himself, and you might pull him early. Better dress three quarterbacks. Similar to my last season, we had Case Keenum. Yep. He tried to go. He limped around. I had to take him out, put in Haskins, and all hell broke loose. But, yeah, you got to probably give Patrick his opportunity to say how he feels. If he thinks he can go, you got to trust the guy.
Right. But from a coaching game plan standpoint, you'd probably say, hey, man, you know, Carson Wentz, you're kind of the guy. Like, that would be the mentality I would assume Andy Reid would have. And you're a million times right. Correct. I was screaming about that last night on Stupid X. Three games in 10 and a half days is absurd. And we see it all the time, but like the Jets did three games in 11 days, week one and two, weeks one, two, and three, I think it was, at San Francisco on a Monday night, at Nashville on that following Sunday, and then they played New England on the following Thursday. So it was like three games in, I don't know, 11 days or whatever the hell it was. But there's one thing to do it week one, two, and three, as opposed to weeks 15, 16, or 14, 15, and 16, or whatever.
Yeah.
Weeks were in.
I agree. This isn't Madden. This isn't a video game. This takes a lot to prepare. It takes your bodies a long time to recover from a game, and it's a difficult sport to play, man. Yeah. I mean, especially week 15, 16, and 17, like I said. So it's insane to me. But, you know, back to Carson, I think the game plan won't change. I think Carson will do similar stuff that Patrick. He'll probably hand off just a little bit more than Patrick would, but overall the game plan will stay the same.
Yeah. Last thing for you, everything okay, I guess, in Philadelphia? Jaylen and A.J. Brown look like best friends after that one touchdown yesterday, huh?
Yeah, it's amazing when you feed the guy a ball a couple times. You know how everybody's happy and smiling. But, yeah, that just goes to show you that if you're going to play single high against them and stop Saquon Barkley, they can hurt you with A.J. and Devontae. So they're going to give teams fits the rest of the year. They're obviously one of the Super Bowl favorites in my mind because they don't really have any weaknesses offensively or defensively. Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh had back-to-back takeaways in the span of maybe like a minute and a half and got 3 points out of it early in the game. That's where that game turned for me.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh just doesn't have, you know, without Pickens, they don't have any really.
Well, oh, you're right.
Calvin Austin's not very good, and you know, their running game's average.
No, you're absolutely right. And Najee Harris was involved in one of those fumbles. Jay, as always, great stuff. Appreciate you. I guess we'll talk next Monday after the Eagles and the Commanders.
You got it. Thanks, Chris.
There you go.
You
that's well done, Jay. I can't believe I stepped all over that. Thank you, though. On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly at Fairfax, F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln at Ted Britt Chevrolet and Sterling, home of Ted Britt for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at tedbritt.com. We'll take a quick time out. We'll try and squeeze in a call or two on the other side here with the trending alert and the cleanup on aisle three and all that good stuff. We'll do that surely to come on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Ah, Jay Gruden was funny calling me a nincompoop, huh? I'll give you nincompoop. Jay was great, as always. If you missed, hit the Odyssey Rewind podcast it after the show. Maddie, you'll have it all carved up for you. Thanks to my guy at Talk Nats of course, as always, listening, but he tweeted, as a coach, you just got screwed over. Jay Gritt, you know, I mean, listen, when you have incompetent, it's hard enough to win in this league to get players to do what they're supposed to do and to get teams to operate and unity and sync and all that stuff. We had that, you know, word meant. It's when you have to beat the officials, utter absurdity and incompetency. When you have to beat that and a team, could be very difficult. Again, not trying to make excuses, but it is part of the mix. Let's quickly get to Steve in Columbia here before the bottom of the hour. What's up, Steve? How are you?
Uh-oh.
Steve?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, yeah. I wanted you to explain, you said you knew the reason why DQ wanted to do that 54-yard field goal. And also, I just wanted to say, I'm concerned about the offense. As great and good as Terry is, but when you get close to the playoffs, teams are going to really, really focus on him. And who else is going to step up is what I'm concerned about, because I don't really, with Noah Brown out, I don't really see anyone.
I'm confused on what you're saying. With Noah Brown out, what?
Okay, with Noah Brown out, right, and with Terry being the primary focus, right?
Okay.
When they play other teams, as we get closer to the playoffs, other teams are going to have better defensive schemes to keep the ball away from Terry.
Yeah.
So who's going to step up?
Okay. Well, I mean, hopefully they get something out of KJ Osborne. I'm still not sure why the whole Luke McCaffrey thing hasn't exactly worked out the way everybody sort of thinks it is when you see him streaming across the middle of the field wide open. Not that that happens on every route or every game or every situation. I'm not saying that happens. I mean, the answer for me is probably KJ Osborne is going to have to step up and be, you know, basically the number two to Terry's number one. And I don't know, maybe that's too much to ask for a guy who just got here yesterday, but it was not a surprise to me that he was out yesterday. But I do think he'll probably play against Philadelphia, and they'll need him. They'll need him big, especially if Zach Ertz can't play.
Right. And then why did they do the 54-yard field goal?
Well, to try and take a 10-point lead and make it a two-score game. That's DQ's justification, which I get, right? I mean, we all want to make it a two-score game. I got it. But you have to weigh the risk, and that's what I don't think DQ did.
Okay. All right.
Appreciate you. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, as always. All right, we'll try and get to Mark and Chevy Chase on the other side and an abridged version of cleanup on aisle three. First, a trending alert right here, right now, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we've been telling you all day about the Lions injury situation, and it just got worse. Lions coach Dan Campbell is now saying that David Montgomery, one of their two stud running backs, his MCL is going to require season-ending surgery. So they lost a Lee McNeil, their top defensive lineman remaining, to a torn ACL out, and Carlton Davis, their starting quarterback, out for an indefinite period of time with a fractured jaw and surgery. And now Montgomery is not just a couple of week injury, it is a season-ending injury for the Detroit Lions, who currently hold the one seed. Tonight, the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears. Monday Night Football, it's one of two games actually on the docket. Atlanta and the Las Vegas Raiders, the other one. We will join Minnesota and Chicago in progress at 8 o'clock right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Again, there is two Monday night games, a must-win for Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons in Vegas, where Max Crosby will not play. Dan Quinn meeting with the media right now. We'll update you on anything that he provides in terms of injuries to Jeremy Chinn and or Zach Ertz, who both left yesterday's game with concussion issues. And finally, the Caps back on the road looking to make it 11 in a row away from Capital One Arena tonight against the Dallas Stars on 106.7 The Fan. Puck drop just after 8 o'clock. And that is what's trending. Alrighty, we are back. Final 20 minutes or so of the radio program. Still a lot to come. Dum-dum of the day. And it's going to be a guy that I covered. Front and center. No more details Tease, stick around another 14 minutes or so away before Craig Hoffman takes over at 4 o'clock. Again, if you missed me on the Take Command podcast with Craig last night, we did it live right around 7:40 or so, and it's still available on the Team 980 YouTube page and or wherever you get your podcasts on the Odyssey app and more on Take Command. Post-game live with Craig and myself. And I was on the Junkies this morning. If you missed that, I just tweeted out a link from the station X account and 106.7's X account, and as well, I was on with JP and B Mitch right before the show. Been a busy boy, so go check all of that. All right, let's get to Mark and Chevy Chase here before cleanup on aisle three. What's up, Mark? How are you?
Hey, I might have a different opinion than most of the other callers, but I'm just ecstatic about that last play. The plays before it gave me a heart attack almost, but I'll take a win like that any day. Two other things. They lost to the Eagles on my birthday. It's my dad's birthday, the rematch, so maybe we'll have better luck. We're hoping to get to the game. And that's pretty much it. Well, I know we're playing the Eagles.
Well, here's the thing. I'm teasing you about this, but you're going to have to leave the girl at home if she's going to root for the Eagles because of the bird thing.
You know, it's actually a day for my dad and I because she told me a couple things. She said, one, she's not doing games, and two, I know that she has actually a Commander's jersey ready to go when we make a run here in the playoffs.
There you go. Sounds good. Thank you, Mark, as always. Good to hear from you. Appreciate you hanging in. All right, you know what time it is? Let's do it. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. All right, a couple of special guests to mention here that we have not tomorrow. AEW superstar Orange Cassidy in studio in the 1 o'clock hour with me and the DOC. If you watch All Elite Wrestling, Orange Cassidy has been front and center, was in the main event of their last pay-per-view. He's going to join us again, probably right around 1:15 tomorrow afternoon on a Tuesday with the DOC. And coming up later on this week, I think Thursday at 3, but I'm not 100% sure, Jay Paterno, not Joe Paterno, Joe Paterno, the Penn State coaching legend's son. He's got a new book out, College Football, and obviously talking about the college football playoff, in which Penn State will obviously play this weekend against, Tennessee? I think it's Tennessee. Speaking of college football all of that, James Franklin, Penn State's head coach, says the timing of the transfer portal and the college football playoff is causing major problems, saying we got problems in college football. And he's not wrong. Basically, what happened here is Bo Pribula, if I'm saying this correct, after we found out that Drew Allar is coming back, Bo Pribula entered the transfer portal on Monday and is not going to be on Penn State's team for the college football playoff. So you have Tennessee. Tennessee is at Ohio State. My bad. So basically, Penn State is going to be left with out their top backup, a guy that they've spent plenty of time with. He's leaving, right? He's not happy that Aller's coming back. He's not going to get a chance to play. He's leaving, and now he looks like kind of the bad guy. Penn State is taking on SMU in the 6-11 matchup. My bad. My brain can't handle all this. But, I mean, the bottom line is this kid has played a little bit. He's got 6 rushing touchdowns He's thrown 35 passes for Penn State, and he's gone. Now, Texas's backup quarterback, it's not their true backup. Malik Murphy left also early. You know, that was last year. My bad on that. I can't keep track of all this stuff. But the point being is, this sucks. I didn't even think about this. But James Franklin is so right. Please, people, get your head out of your... Wake up. Smell the roses. Let's do something to figure this out. You can't be having teams lose their backup quarterback the week that they're playing in a college football playoff game, not because of injury, but because of the transfer portal. And because you got to jump ahead of others that might enter the transfer portal, and you've got to secure your future. Just ridiculous. How about this? Staying in college football? You know who interviewed for the Norfolk State job today? Matt, any idea?
You're not never going to get. Belichick.
You're not not Bill Belichick, and not Baby Belichick either. I've heard he's a really good coach. The Virginia Pilot is reporting that Michael Vick interviewed for the Norfolk State head coaching job. He's 44 years old. Of course, everybody knows what kind of legal trouble he got in. And apparently, he's beyond just a finalist for the job. He's, in some people's eyes, the leading candidate. No experience, but obviously we saw when Deion Sanders went to Jackson State, before he went to Colorado, and Eddie George, same thing. I don't think either one of those guys had head coaching experience. I'd have to double check all that before Jackson State and Middle Tennessee State. But, I mean, teams are doing it now. Recruiting tools. And they know they would lose a guy like Michael Vick to a bigger school if he has success, like Jackson State lost Deion Sanders. But you get the program on the map, and you make yourself relevant. Very interesting. Good luck to Michael Vick, I guess. And... we got to spend a moment on this, maybe more than a moment. The Capitals. Listen, I didn't see a lot of the game on Saturday night, but they won and they pulled away from Buffalo. Dylan Strome with the go-ahead goal in the third period. I was watching it at a place near Capital One Arena that the USAA folks had a nice after party for us. Right there on 9th Street. I forgot the name of it already. City Tap? I think it's City Tap. Right next to the Westin. That's where we stayed. First of all, I got to say this. That place, really good food. I ordered a bowl of clam chowder on Thursday night after, I didn't mention this on Friday when we were at Radio Row. The bowl was the biggest bowl of soup that I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it was monstrous. I was like, oh my gosh. And I ordered the bowl because the cup is usually so small that, you know, I wanted something hot and hearty. It was cold out, whatever. And it was huge. It was bigger than my sandwich by at least twice the size. Because I got a sandwich too. But it was great. Really good soup. Anyway. So I watched the end of the Capitals game on Saturday night. Dylan Strome with the go-ahead goal. And the Capitals are back on the road tonight against the Dallas Stars. And what does that mean? Well, it means this. The Capitals already beat Dallas 3-2 at Capital One Arena with their backup goaltender. Jake Ottinger didn't play. I don't know if he's playing tonight. I think he is. But the Capitals beat the Sabres 4-2. They extended their winning streak to 4 games overall. It's their third winning streak of at least 4 games, the Capitals PR notes. And again, I think they've won 10 games on the road. Yeah, they haven't lost on the road. Or the winning streak, I guess, started on November 9th and extended, of course, last week in a road win in Columbus. They're 10-0-0 on the road, and they'll go for lucky number 11 tonight against a tough customer. The Capitals, ladies and gentlemen, in case you haven't been paying attention, They are kicking ass and taking names even without Alex Ovechkin. And they deserve so much more attention than we can give them. But I want to make sure that we give them as much attention as we can whenever we can. And it'll obviously be more once the Commander season is over. But the Capitals lead the Eastern Conference. They have 21 wins in their first 29 games. And tonight, if they win, they would match their best start through 30 games in franchise history. This in the 50th season of Caps hockey. What an unbelievable job they have done. And again, 8 of those 10 road wins without Alex Ovechkin. He was hurt in the third game of that streak, which I don't, you know, they still had to win that game without him. And they've won 7 others in addition to that, and now try for an 11th in a row tonight. All right, that takes care of cleanup on aisle 3.
Cleanup in aisle 3.
When we return, a guy that I covered, not so nice, not so nice. And you know what? It has nothing to do with mold. We'll explain. All right, real quickly before we get to Dumb Dumb of the Day, a couple of updates from reporters and Dan Quinn. Per Nikki, Ben, I just seeing them on my Twitter timeline, I'm sure everyone's reporting the same thing. Zach Ertz, Jeremy Chinn officially, as expected, in concussion protocol, which means we'll have to see if they can practice at all before Friday before you even know whether they have a chance to play. Dan Quinn said, Tyler Biadasz expected to be available Sunday versus Philly. He obviously had an illness that coming from Nikki's timeline. And the one other thing from standing is mentioned Zane Gonzalez was close to playing, according to Quinn, but enough questions about his plant foot remained. He will be the kicker this week against the Eagles if he's deemed healthy. So there you go. Some injury updates and whatnot from the Commanders head coach. All right, coming up tomorrow, the DOC will be with us. Again, Orange Cassidy from All Elite Wrestling. They're in town Wednesday night at the Entertainment and Sports Arena, nationally televised on TBS. So we will have that in the first hour, and then we'll do plenty with Doc, and we'll annoy him to no end because that's what we do. But what we also do at this time of the day is we celebrate the idiocy of America.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Yeah, after spending such a great weekend honoring the greatness of America, Army, Navy, in Landover, USAA, and everything in between, and all the great interviews we were able to bring you on Radio Row on Friday from Arlington National Cemetery. If you missed any of it, it's still available at theteam980.com and on the Odyssey app. We bring you this. A guy I covered, former first-round pick, Eric Moulds of the Buffalo Bills. He's a pretty good receiver. Well, he's being sued by a New York woman, a Western New York woman, of quote-unquote knowingly infecting her with herpes. She claimed in New York State Superior Court, the unnamed woman, she has not made her name available, I guess, for now, that Moulds, the former first-round pick, infected her with herpes simplex virus 2, type 2, along with several other women. How? Well, obviously, a sexually transmitted disease. I think we all kind of know that. But he was targeting, according to the complaint, quote, single mothers who were Buffalo Bills fans living in Western New York. Of course, as you know, or maybe you should know, herpes is incurable, but it can be treated. She claimed that, you know, after a while of them talking and whatnot, that in January of 2023, she finally accepted Mould's offer for an all-expenses-paid trip to be with him in North Carolina after they had communicated on Instagram since 2019. So again, supposedly this relationship took about 4 years to culminate in a sexual relationship that started again in January of 2023 and lasted until November of 2023. And she alleged that Molds should have known or did know that he had a sexually transmitted disease. She found out how? One more layer to this. Molds' pregnant fiance of 8 years got in touch with her in December of 2023 and suggested she get tested because she and other women whom Molds had relationships with had been transmitted diseases by him. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to America.
Congratulations. You're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
They had unprotected sexual relations, and she began to feel symptoms about a month later. And again, she was notified by Molds' pregnant fiance of 8 years, who got in touch with her, saying her and other women were at risk. Think about that. Think about that. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Matty Ice. Great job out of him, as always. Thanks to Jay Gruden. Awesome spot. If you missed it, check it out on the podcast. As well, you can check out all of our thoughts on the 20-19 win. Tomorrow, again, Orange Cassidy from All Elite Wrestling there in town Wednesday night will join Doc and I in the 1 o'clock hour, and we will get into plenty of football and other nonsense and chicanery. That's coming up tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Craig Hoffman up next on your drive home. Be safe out there. Don't drive like a maniac. Adios on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.